This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Riding the T got more expensive today, with fares on the MBTA subway lines going up by about 6%. Many riders are upset. Some even staged protests at stops around the city. The T says the money is necessary for funding important capital investments like the new Orange Line cars. Listeners, what do you think about the fare hikes? We want to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. In a minute, we're going to hear from Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu, who helped organize the protests, and former State Transportation Secretary Jim Aloisi. But first, let's talk to WBOR reporter Zeninjor Enwemeka, who's been covering the fare hikes. Zeninjor, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi there.
Okay, so first, Zeninjor, can you walk us through the actual fare hikes?
Yeah, so MBTA fares increased by an average of 6% today. That's just an average, of course. So riders will see slightly different fare increases depending on their mode of transit. So subway rides increased 15 cents, so to $2.40. Commuter rail prices vary by region, but the biggest increase was 75 cents for a one-way fare. And monthly passes for unlimited rides on train and bus increased by more than $5 to $90 a month. The only fares that didn't change are for local bus fares and the special discounted fares for seniors and students.
So some of that's pretty substantial. What are you hearing from riders?
Well, many riders are frustrated with the fare increases, especially given the T's service issues. We've seen two derailments recently over the last few weeks, and there's still delays on the red line because of that. And before today, some were, you know, calling for transit officials to hold off on the fare hikes and until those repairs and improvements were made. Janet Pidge is a writer from the Belmont Watertown area.
It's the worst service I've ever seen. They let people on free half the day. I mean, and now they're raising prices. It's shocking.
So a lot of frustration, it sounds like. Zeninjor.
Yeah, a lot of frustration there.
And tell us, WBUR did a poll last week that was specifically on the issue of transportation. What did the poll find?
Yeah, again, the poll really reflected a lot of the frustration that we're hearing today, as well as a lack of confidence in our transportation system. Only 4% said it's gotten easier to get around the region in the last 5 years. And about 3 out of 4 poll respondents said the condition of the T has stayed the same or gotten worse since that historic snowstorms of 2015, which shut down the entire system. And notably, 70% of respondents said that they think the fare hikes should be put on hold until service is fully restored. The other interesting thing that our poll found was that more people think the fare hike will make traffic worse rather than actually improving service on the MBTA.
All right, so that makes me think, Zeninjor, of another poll that WBUR and Mass Inc. did back in April. And in that, respondents basically said that we are more optimistic that things can get better on the T than they can on traffic. Given this new poll, given everything that's happened in the last couple of months, what's your guess? Do you think people would say that same thing today?
No, it's clearly changed as of our recent poll. We had an overwhelming majority of poll respondents who, you know, say that they believe the MBTA is in crisis or has major problems.
Yeah, so that really does sound like a real change in a matter of just 3 or 4 months.
A serious lack of confidence, for sure.
All right, so the fares went into effect today. Why does the MBTA say the fare hikes are necessary?
Well, the MBTA says fares are vital to investing in the system. And transit officials say the revenue from fares really helps fund maintenance, which is critical to keeping the system running. And I should note, too, that Governor Baker, announced a plan to speed up fixes to the T's aging infrastructure.
So that's WBUR's Zeninjor Enwemeka, and she'll stay with us as we delve deeper into this issue. Joining us now in the studio is Councilor Michelle Wu, who helped organize these so-called Boston Tea Party protests against the fare hikes. Councilor Wu, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Jim Aloisi. He's the former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and principal at Trimount Consulting. Jim, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Okay, you, listeners, are you upset about these recent fare hikes on the T? Should the T be free? How do you think the MBTA should be funded? Please call us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Councilor Wu, you were out this morning talking to riders. What'd you hear?
You know, it was striking how consistent the feedback was. I started on the red line today at Ashmont, popped out at JFK UMass, talked to some folks on the platform, got back in and came out at Park Street. All along the way, the one word that kept coming to the forefront was ridiculous. People are fed up. They are tired of delay after delay. I was introduced, and people said, oh, here we go. It's the Savin Hill stall, right? So at every single stop, there's an
it's
extra
like a
10 minutes.
For every
yes,
stop.
Extra 20 minutes here. And some of the commutes had doubled, tripled, and it's really impacting people's lives.
So that's really painful. But the fare hikes happened. They went into effect today. They're active. So what do you hope to achieve with protesting them now that they're in effect?
The goal today was to reach out with a coalition to empower riders to speak up. We had over 300 volunteers out, including more than 60 elected officials and candidates at 75 stations across the system, from Boston and the metro area all the way out to Worcester and Salem and Haverhill. And the goal was to really let people know, here's actually something we could do about this. We need more revenue. It shouldn't come on the backs of riders and through the fares. And we also need to change who has a seat at the table to make these decisions.
Jim Aloisi, you have decades of experience in this field. Do you oppose the new fare hikes on the MBTA?
I do. I've said this before. I think the fare hike is unnecessary. It's unfair. It was manufactured by the T because the T actually shifted funds that were designated by the legislature for their operating budget and shifted that to the capital budget. And when it did that, it created a gap and it said, well, now we need to fill the gap. So this was a wholly unnecessary fare hike. In the middle of an environment where we're having a transportation crisis in Metro Boston, and that's what this is, where we're trying to figure out how to get people out of single occupancy vehicles and onto public transportation, doing a fare hike at a time when we know the T is not performing reasonably well, where the red line is derailed and green lines are derailed, service is not up to par, just sends the wrong message. And what this fare increase will do, it's inevitable, it's going to depress ridership. It'll depress them by making them sad, but it also will reduce. It'll reduce ridership. And at a time when our public policy really needs to be more about encouraging people to get onto transit and rail, and to think differently about their mobility choices.
So at this point, let's bring the listeners in. Let's take some calls. Mella from Roxbury, welcome to Radio Boston. Tell us why you called.
I'm calling because I am a transit advocate, and we believe that the T needs to stop raising fares and to actually make the system better. There should be discounted fares for riders, for low-income riders, and that we're in a climate crisis right now. And right now is the worst time to raise fares on a public transportation system because it's going to drive people back into their cars. And the T raised the fares in 2016, and they put the money into a lockbox. They said they were going to make customer-facing improvements. And we haven't seen them use that money for that. So why raise the fares again if you're not going to make the T better and make a system that works for everybody, especially the low-income riders who are paying more to ride the T even as we speak?
Mella from Roxbury, thanks so much for that call. Listeners, call in as Mella did. Tell us what's on your mind at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take one more. Jeff from Milton, tell us what's on your mind.
Councilor Wu, I came to the call on Greater Boston, you proposing that there be no charge, that there be free public transportation. I was really struck by that, and I'm wondering what city provides a model for that idea.
Councilor Wu, over to you.
Thank you for your question. I'm so excited about this proposal. I mean, the larger picture is that public transportation is a public good, and just as we as a society, and historically here in Boston and Massachusetts, have led the way in investing in public goods, first public school in the country, first public park, public libraries, we have decided that investing in those things and making them accessible to all really has a benefit to more than just the users. And same thing, just as Jim was saying, the T should be a solution to the region's problems around climate change, around traffic, around income inequality and racial disparities, not deepening and accelerating them. So if we take that to the conclusion, we need to remove all barriers for people to ride, including financial barriers. Now, practically, what does that mean? It's a little over $400 million that come from bus and subway fares, and more on top of that from commuter rail. The T is talking about an $8 to $10 billion backlog, gap in terms of reaching the state of good repair, we have to dig deep and figure out how to fund a vision that includes electrification, regional rail, faster service, more frequent service, more reliable service. On top of that, adding the amount to remove barriers for riders is part of the conversation.
Thanks for that. And there's so much in there that over the next little bit that we can unpack. I do want to grab another call real quick. Galen from Newton. Galen, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so thanks for taking my call. I've been a T rider for multiple years and seasons now, first as an intern for 2 summers, and I remember that was 5 years ago. And the Red Line, it broke down like at least 4 times a summer. And I'm wondering if the problems that are still going on today have something that don't really have to do with funding, but something internal and part of the MBTA's leadership or the functions within. I mean, it's gotten so bad that I'm actually starting a new job in 2 weeks and have decided to move to get closer to work because the T is so unreliable.
So thanks for that, Galen. And I'll take it over to Jim Aloisi. Jim, Galen says, hey, I think there's something deeper going on about management. What's your thought based on what you just heard from Galen?
I don't know that it's a management issue as much as it's a leadership issue. I think it's easy to point fingers at individual people or managers, but the real issue is leadership. It's a statehouse leadership issue. It's a desire to say, look, we need a public transportation system that responds to our needs and to our values. And the way you would deal with that today in the 21st century is probably very different than how you would deal with raising revenue and making investment in, say, 1960 or 1970. So we haven't caught up yet. And it sounds, you know, Councilor was saying all the right things earlier about what we need to be investing in. And it may sound overwhelming to people, but the reality is all it takes is a reimagination of how you want to invest in mobility and leveling the playing field in a way that's regionally fair and also equitable. There are ways to raise revenue. We can talk about that now or later. But there are fair, transparent ways to raise the substantial net new revenue that you need to invest in the system, both on the repair and modernization end and also on the strategic end, so that you do have electrified regional rail. You do connect the red and blue lines, and you have a bus rapid transit network that responds to a lot of needs that are currently not being addressed.
So to that very last point, the bus rapid transit network, Zeninjor, you were in Mexico City and looked at the capacity for bus services there. Tell us a little bit more about what you found.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, the system in Mexico City is a very fast, very efficient system, very nice buses that carry a large amount of riders. I think some of their buses have a capacity of up to 240 riders. And the system there is very popular, so much so that it's overcrowded. You have people coming from all over just to use it. When I was in Mexico City, I spoke with Andres Lejeune, who is Mexico City's mobility secretary, and he said that the city decided to take away space for cars to make way for bus rapid transit.
People at first reacted negatively, but once you started measuring the effects of the first BRT line, we saw that particularly people making shorter trips would dump their car pretty fast. And that was good for them in terms of costs and good for the city in terms of pollution and congestion.
And Lejeune said that this was first and foremost a political choice, that they chose to prioritize public transportation over cars. And by many metrics, it's been very successful there.
So listeners, we're talking about the fare hikes on the T. That was Zeninjor Enwemeka, WBUR Bostonomics reporter. We also have Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu and former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation Jim Aloisi. Councilor Wu, one of the things that we heard was it takes real vision, it takes investment in new capacity, and that maybe not a management issue, but certainly a leadership issue. A recent WBUR poll found that only 29% of Boston area voters are satisfied with the way Governor Charlie Baker has handled the MBTA. He recently asked for a $50 million infusion to the T to accelerate the maintenance work. But is that enough, and is he providing the leadership he should be?
No and no.
Okay, then.
What I would say is, you know, what I heard, I think what the polling numbers that you described reflect matches exactly what I heard from riders today, that it's not just that people are frustrated. The key point, conversation by conversation, was whether or not they felt like it would make a difference if they spoke up. T riders at this point are so disempowered, so disheartened that everyone kept saying to me, well, why does it matter? They're going to do it anyway. They don't care about us. And the shift happened when I would say back, you know what, who the they is? The they making decisions about T fares and policy and operations is five people. They're all appointed by the governor. There's no direct voice in that five for riders. There's no direct voice for the city of Boston or other municipalities or commuter rail communities. We have a year to change that governance structure because the current five-member board expires in July 2020. And so now's the time to be having those conversations about how we have direct accountability to the people who are most impacted.
So to that point, Councillor Wu, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, he initially supported the fare hikes, but then says, no, not until the Red Line is sort of fully restored to service. He also says that Boston should have, to your point, a local seat on the MBTA Oversight Board. Do you think the mayor is providing sufficient leadership on this issue?
You know, I am so glad that so many leaders across the Commonwealth are speaking up and saying this is a priority for the region. This undergirds almost every other policy area we're talking about. We need to go as fast as we can and as big as we can when it comes to fixing public transit. The fare hikes never should have been approved in the first place. And I think it's important to point out that when the T proposed them earlier this year, it was an across-the-board fare hike. Zeninger had talked about how there are some carve-outs now, but those were only compromised and amended after there was tremendous public pushback at that time. Thousands of riders signing petitions in opposition, hundreds coming to testify. The public pressure makes a difference, but we need our elected leadership to catch up to that.
Listeners, we're talking about the MBTA fare hikes. Call us and tell us what's on your mind at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. Mark from Arlington, thanks for calling in. Tell us what's on your mind.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Nationwide, public transit has been down 2-3% for the past 2 or 3 years, and that's due to Lyft and Uber, and it's completely unrelated from service quality, and people just rather travel in cars than take public transit. And some of the other things you mentioned about transportation equity, MAPC put out a report and show that when you offer increased rail service, the areas get gentrified and low-income people get forced out.
Mark, thanks so much for that. Yeah, I really, the upfront piece of your call, I want to turn to Jim Aloisi and ask him to comment on that. Jim, what about it? Is this not an MBTA issue? Is that there's other options that people just find more attractive?
No, it's a huge MBTA issue. What we're doing, and by the way, what this fare increase will help do, is push more people onto Uber and Lyft.
And you think that's a bad thing?
Sure, it's a bad thing because there's nothing. We say Uber and Lyft is part of innovation and new technology. There's nothing innovative about me driving you in an internal combustion engine, you know, going from one place to another. That we could do that in 1930. What's innovative is how you get it through your smartphone app. But that car is polluting. That car is congesting. That car is taking up precious parking space and other spaces around the city. It's not sustainable mobility, which is what most people want to have in this century. And so every time we raise fares on people, we push them to Uber and Lyft. Every time we have a derailment, we push them to Uber and Lyft. Every time we have some problem with service, we do that. And the reason why we've got to invest so much so in public transportation is we've got to be competitive with these new alternatives. An egalitarian transit system, one that has people from all walks of life and all income strata, is what creates social cohesion and what is good for the economy and quality of life. It's an existential threat that we have now that we never had before. This is unprecedented. I think we can deal with it. But there's good legislation, for example, up at the State House today to increase fees on Uber and Lyft rides in a way that meets national best practice. We don't even do that in Massachusetts. So there are lots of things that we can do, we should be doing, and I hope that through the efforts of the councilor and others highlighting this fare increase, that there'll be the impetus on the part of the legislature to get some of these legislative enactments passed into law in this session so that we can have some additional revenue and invest in our public transportation and rail system.
WBUR Zeninjor Enwemeka, you have been reporting on business economics and the transportation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Mark raises a really interesting question, and it brings me back to my trip when I went down to Mexico City to look at their transportation system. And one of the things that was really interesting about their bus rapid transit system is that it actually did take cars off the road. They found that there are some folks who were willing to give up their cars to use the system, but it was also a system that really provided better service, faster service, efficient service. So it was one of those things where they were able to provide a nicer, better, faster alternative, and there are at least some folks who were willing to take their cars off the road in favor of this public transit system.
So, Councillor Wu, better, faster, smarter alternative requires a couple of things: vision, a plan, and investment. So we could pick any one of those three to talk about next, but let's at least talk about how do we pay for what does have to get done to have a transportation system that supports the economy we're capable of in the city and in the region.
Yeah, I think there's short-term and long-term, and some of the flyers that we were passing out at T stations earlier today describe a couple of the funding proposals are on the table. As Jim said, there is a very important piece of legislation and discussion to increase the surcharge on Uber and Lyft, which is directly contributing to traffic. There's the gas tax. Even just a penny per gallon increase on the gas tax would raise more than the fare hikes and could zero them out immediately. 3 cents on the gallon would help fund regional transit authorities across the state, because this is not just a Boston or Greater Boston question and issue. We need to address transportation statewide. We're talking about funding from Transportation Climate Initiative, from congestion pricing. There are lots of ways we could raise this revenue if we just have the commitment and the political will.
Councillor Wu, what about the mayor's 2030 plan for Boston? I mean, he's done some thinking about this. Is it a bold enough vision? Do we have plans in place that are really bold enough to get us where we need to go?
You know, I think you can ask any T user, you can ask residents of neighborhoods all across the city. People have specific ideas. We have great suggestions. A lot of it, especially at the city level, is about implementation. And one of the fastest ways that we could help municipally is improving bus service. It is the most cost efficient, the fastest way, and also has a huge impact in terms of the sheer number of riders who are on buses stuck in traffic currently. If we could dramatically speed up how many dedicated bus lanes the city of Boston is designating across the city, that would be the quickest, biggest, fastest thing we could do immediately within the city's control.
Listeners, add your voice. How do you feel about the fare hikes? Where do you think we need a bold new vision for transportation in Boston or in the Commonwealth? You can reach us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Let's hear from Rick from Swampscott. Rick, what's on your mind?
How are you today?
Well, thanks, Rick. Tell us.
Good. So I'm hearing suggestions for pushing people off the roads and toward the T. And my wife takes the rail every day from Swampscott into town to work, and most of the time can't find a seat on the train. So it seems to me if you're going to push people off the road and onto the T, that you need to increase capacity for the T, because at this point it's standing room only.
Thanks for that. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead.
The other thing is, you know, if you're going to provide luxury services like Wi-Fi on the train but not a seat, that seems a little defeating of the purpose. There's also increasing the gas tax again is maybe a means to get some people out of their cars, but most people are just going to pay the gas tax. I think raising taxes and raising taxes and raising taxes seems to be one of the very few solutions to any problem political.
Rick, thanks so much for that. I appreciate it. I do want to note it has been a while since we've raised the gas tax, but I did also notice that you got a chuckle out of everyone in the room when you said, I can get Wi-Fi, but not a seat. Zeninjor, tell me your reaction.
Yeah, it's interesting, the point that Rick brings up. And just circling back to what Councillor Wu said earlier, I think it's important to point out, too, the poll that WBUR did last week did ask voters what they thought about some of these measures to bring in revenue. So gas tax, congestion pricing, adding more tolls, increasing the fees on Uber and Lyft. And that poll found that most people did not support those measures. There's only one measure.
There you go, Rick.
There you go. So there was really only one measure that voters clearly supported, 69% to 28%. And that was a tax on incomes over $1 million. So the so-called millionaire's tax or fair share amendment, which I know is being discussed at the State House.
And we've discussed it here in the last couple of weeks on Radio Boston as well. Jim, where do the revenues come from? Is it a tax on people over $1 million? Is it a gas tax? What should we be thinking about?
I think
here?
The revenues ought to primarily come from transportation sources. We talked about Uber and Lyft fees. We talked about the gas tax. The one thing we didn't talk about is an assessment on non-residential parking within the urban core. An automobile is of no value to you if you have no place to put it. Last time I was on your show here at Radio Boston, we had a caller who said she drives instead of taking the Red Line primarily because her employer in the Seaport District subsidizes her parking. She only pays $100 a month. We can't sustain that. And so that might be part of her employment package, but we've got to figure out a way to assess the employer for giving that benefit. So there are plenty of ways to raise sustainable new revenue. I would say parking is absolutely one of them. On the caller, he's right. We need to invest. One of the things Transit Matters has championed is a plan for regional rail that is electric, that's clean, and that has frequent all-day frequencies, like every 15 minutes within the urban core. If we can do that, we can then price roads, we can then raise the gas tax, and people will see the benefits of shifting to rail. So you can increase capacity. We're running a mid-20th century regional rail system right now that's polluting the air because it's diesel locomotives, very slow, it's not accessible. One major area of investment that will help everyone in Metro Boston will be investing in a modern 21st century electric regional rail system.
So, Councillor Wu, let's pick up on a piece of what Jim Aloisi just said, which is this public transit versus car relationship. And one of the things that he said was, frankly, it's just too cheap to own a car and drive a car in the city. Should we, for example, raise the cost of residential parking permits as a way to increase revenue in Boston?
That is a proposal that I have put on the table. It has gotten a lot of feedback from neighborhoods across the city. I think the bottom line is that we have to be realistic about just how much of a crisis we're in when it comes to transportation. Not just that the trains are falling apart, crumbling, but that it is driving people into a more and more and more congested city. And not everyone has the choice to be able to abandon the T and have a car. For many people, it is too expensive to go any other way. And so we need to make sure that if we are real about addressing racial equity, if we are real about addressing income inequality, public transportation has to be the solution. We have to do everything we can to get more people on it. We also have to start pricing our roads more efficiently and view parking spaces not just as a free place that you should get to leave your car, but as a public resource that has value that we could manage much more efficiently.
So we have very limited time, but I just want to get one more listener voice in. Len from Beverly, tell us what's on your mind.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been a regular commuter rider from the North Shore into Boston, where my office is, for the past 20 years. And we've been involved in a lot of transportation design and architecture. But to the point of what the fares should be on the T, my opinion is we should not be raising fares. We should be reducing fares. Everyone knows that raising fares drives ridership away. By reducing fares in half and looking for other sources of funding, I think that's the true solution to the problem for getting people to leave their cars, getting on mass transit, improving mobility for everyone.
Perfect,
at
Len.
All income levels.
Thanks. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I've got about 60 seconds left, and I want to hear one from each person in the room, one key investment or decision that should be made. Zeninja and Wemeka?
Well, I'll just say what I've been hearing a lot from the business community, which is very focused on this issue and wanting to come to the table with some sort of solution because they see this as a problem for the economy. You know, this is something that affects workers and affects productivity, and that can be a really huge hit for the local economy.
Thank you. Jim Aloisi, one thought.
We need to invest in our future. That means taking into account all of the revenue generation ideas that Michelle and I have talked about today and investing it in projects like repair, like transit connectivity, and regional rail.
Thank you. And City Councilor Michelle Wu.
In the immediate term, prioritizing bus-only lanes and changing the governance structure so cities and riders have a voice for the T. In the long term, free the T.
That is Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu. Councilor Wu, thanks so much for being with
Thank
us.
You.
We also heard Jim Aloisi. He's the former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and principal at Trimount Consulting. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
We were also joined by WBUR reporters Zininjor and Wameka. Zininjor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, we remember a Vietnam veteran from Quincy who died in battle 50 years ago. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.